Following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
How's it going, family? All right. Well, if you guys have your Bibles with you, go ahead and turn to John chapter 11. John chapter 11. This summer, we've been going through and looking at the different names of Jesus. So far, we've studied that Jesus is Emmanuel. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the vine. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is the door. Last week, Pastor Jeff showed us that Jesus is the good shepherd. And tonight, we get to see that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And each one of those names of Jesus describes an attribute of our Lord. Think of it kind of like a puzzle that we are putting together, right? The mysteries of God. And he keeps giving us one piece and another piece and another piece. And together we put it together and we get to see who he is and what he's all about. And honestly, when we go through hard times, we can cling to the different puzzle pieces that speak to us in that moment. If we feel lost or need provision, we can trust our good shepherd. If we feel alone, we can pray to Emmanuel, the God that is with us or among us. And today we're going to pick up another really important puzzle piece. And it's a puzzle piece that every one of us will desperately need at some point of our lives. As we heard, Dominic Bali had a friend that got hit by a car, and she passed away. She's with the Lord. And also, just being part of the Refuge family, there have been so many people, so many saints that have graduated and are now with Jesus. The hardest thing that any one of us will have to walk through is death. When you have lost or perhaps are losing someone, it is devastating. Maybe you're not dealing with someone else's death, but rather maybe you're struggling with your own death. Maybe you've been diagnosed with something that's pretty nasty or pretty heavy, and all of a sudden you're wrestling with your own mortality. You know, as kids, we never thought of death, did we? We thought we were bulletproof. We would jump off of buildings. We would not, maybe not buildings. Not buildings. I take back buildings. Trees. I heard trees. I'll take trees. But we never thought that our bodies would break down. So what do we do with this topic of death? This heavy, heavy topic. Fortunately for us, you're not going to hear my opinion on it. We're going to look at what Jesus says because Jesus has something incredibly powerful to say on this matter. In John chapter 11, we see that Jesus allows his friend Lazarus to die from an illness. And death has this way of coming in and bringing pain and confusion and just wrecking our lives. And here we're going to see how Jesus allows it, and he's going to allow the pain and the confusion, and in that pain and confusion, Jesus is going to give us another puzzle piece as to who he is. And he's going to give us a hope that's unlike anything else that this world will offer us. So let's jump right into it, all right? John chapter 11 starts off with a messenger coming to Jesus and letting him know that his dear friend Lazarus is ill. Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, they've sent this messenger over to Jesus. And this messenger comes to Jesus and he says, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Mary and Martha are concerned about their brother. But you know what? They're not too concerned, right? Because they have Jesus. They don't tell Jesus that he needs to come quickly. They don't tell him that Lazarus is on the verge of death. They don't even tell him that it's actually Lazarus. They just say, "He whom you love is sick."
Now, I love everything about this message that they send to Jesus. It is the perfect prayer. They recognize that Jesus is Lord. And they're just saying, hey, Lord, we just want to bring something to your attention. Right? This person whom you love is not feeling too great. And of course, their expectation is, snap to it, Jesus, let's go. Come quickly. Why? Because you love us, right? You love Lazarus. And besides, if Jesus is going around healing all the strangers that he comes across, wouldn't he, of course, come and heal the person whom he loves? And that makes sense, because that's what you and I would do, right? If someone that we love calls us and says, hey, I need some help. I'm not feeling great, right? My mom calls, or my wife calls, and then my mom, right? Got to get the order right. But if they call us and they say, hey, I need prayer, we would run, we would go. Or, hey, I got a really bad headache and I don't have any Advil. We would do that. Or, oh, I need a ride to the hospital. Let's go. I'm there. We would drop everything, just like Dominic Bali did today, and run to the person that we love that's in need. And we expect Jesus to do the same for us. But Jesus doesn't do that here for Mary and Martha and Lazarus. In verse 4 of John chapter 11, we read that when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Sometimes God won't move because he has bigger and better things in mind. Lazarus is dying. And you're thinking, just like I'm thinking, what could be bigger and better than to stop him from dying? And Jesus is going to show us, well, raising him up from the dead's pretty cool, isn't it? Let's show them that. Let's show them that so that God would get the glory and that Jesus would be glorified in it. Sometimes it feels like Jesus likes to stack the deck. He wants to show off. He wants to blow our minds. He wants to show us that what we think is impossible is nothing for him. Jesus knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows that this illness will not be the thing that takes out Lazarus. He knows a resurrection is coming, and he knows that it's going to bring him and the Father glory as he brings life into this dead body. So Jesus knows all of this. He has all these amazing plans that he's going to perform. And the only problem with all of those things that Jesus knows and the plans that he has is he's the only one that knows it. At this point, the disciples don't have a clue. Mary and Martha don't know. And even Lazarus, as he's getting sicker and sicker and sicker, he has no idea that he's going to die and that Jesus is going to show up and call him out of the tomb. If you don't know the story, I'm sorry, I'm totally giving it away, but come on. So what does Jesus do? Verse 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, all right, let's go to Judea again. Anybody else think that's really weird? Jesus doesn't run to this person. He doesn't run to the one that he loves. But in fact, when he hears that Lazarus is ill, Jesus stays back for 2 days. Jesus doesn't just wait for Lazarus to die, but he even waits until Lazarus has been dead for a while.
And in case you're scratching your head like, wow, that's weird. Why would Jesus do that? Why would he let them suffer? After all, right, Mary and Martha were thinking, hey, he's going to come to us because he loves us. So maybe the reader is going to be like, well, maybe Jesus didn't love them as much as he loved someone else. But John here makes it really clear that Jesus did not act not out of love. It wasn't a lack of love that caused Jesus not to move. In fact, Jesus mentions, John and Jesus, I keep getting confused. In fact, John mentions that Jesus loved each of them individually. Yes, Jesus loved Martha. Yes, Jesus loved Mary. Yes, Jesus loved Lazarus. But in that moment, as Lazarus was taking his final breaths, and Mary and Martha are there holding his hand, and they're weeping, I'm sure they felt more lost than loved. And that's what death does. That pain blinds us. It makes us doubt. It makes us question. God, are you really there? Are you really in control? But as this shows us, Jesus is not shaking in his boots. Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. Through the pain, there comes a plan. God is in control. He's got this all mapped out, and it will end gloriously. So now finally, all these days have passed, and Jesus tells his disciples, okay, it's time to go. It's time to go back to Judea. We're going to visit Lazarus, who is sleeping, Jesus says. And I'm going to go and I'm going to wake him up. And the disciples, they don't get it. They don't have a clue what Jesus is talking about. And they're like, Jesus, excuse me. If Lazarus is sick, wouldn't it be better to let him sleep? Like, isn't it better to let him rest? Let him sleep, and then he'll feel better. And besides, we don't really want to go back to that place, because that place, last time we were there, they tried to kill us. The Jews picked up these rocks and were ready to hurl it at your head. And then they would have killed us just for good measure. So Jesus, why don't we just let Lazarus sleep? And why don't we just let sleeping dogs lie? And why don't we just stay here and then all will be well? And in verse 14, Jesus says it plainly. Lazarus is not taking a nappy nap. No, that's my translation. But he is dead. And I am glad. I am glad for your sakes that I was not there so that you may believe. You're going to hear that word believe over and over again in this chapter. How can Jesus be glad that he was not there to save Lazarus from dying? It's a weird thing to say. Well, the answer is it's because he already knows how the story ends. He knows that Lazarus' story ends well. We just haven't gotten to that good part. And I want to tell that for each one of us. If you are a believer, your story ends in glory. Your story ends well. We might be in the hard part or the difficult season now, but Jesus knows how it's going to end, and it's going to end really, really well. So when the disciples see it, Jesus is saying, you're going to believe. You're going to get to see who I am. So they're going to get that important piece of the puzzle. And it's going to change their lives. It's going to change how they view him. Verse 17, when Jesus came now to Bethany, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away. And many of the Jews had joined the women around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And we've got an awesome ministry here that does exactly the same thing. There are awesome ladies that will come and minister to people that have lost their husbands or lost their, you know, child. And here we see the same thing. The people are surrounding Martha and Mary to comfort them. And then in verse 20, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary stayed back. She was sitting in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." I don't know if there's a more heartbreaking sentence in the Bible. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." But even now she says, "I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you." How's Martha feeling? Upset? Hurt? Lazarus has been dead and in the tomb for 4 days. For 4 days, she's been weeping and weeping and weeping with her sister and her friends. For 4 days, she's thinking about her brother. She's thinking about all those wonderful memories that she has. For 4 days, she's got to come to grips with the fact that she's not going to see him anymore on this side of eternity. For 4 days, she has felt all alone as Jesus has not been there. And she comes to Jesus upset. She's one of the feisty ones. "Jesus, where have you been? Why didn't you come earlier? You could have saved him. You could have fixed all this. You could have stopped him from dying. You could have just said a word, even if you didn't come from far away. Just say the word. Or you could have come. You could have touched him. You could have healed him exactly like you've done all those other people, those strangers that you have touched. Jesus, you could have rescued me from this grief and pain. But you didn't." And maybe this is the moment that she expected Jesus to hang his head a little bit and maybe apologize for not being there. Maybe she thought Jesus would come up with some kind of excuse. "Well, I tried to come, but there were so many camels on the road and it was just gridlock." Maybe he would come up with something to ease the pain. But you know what? There's nothing that Jesus could say that would make it better. In her mind. In her mind, there's no excuse. And maybe there's someone here that is holding on to a hurt. You are upset at God for something, and you're just not letting it go. "Lord, if only you would have been there. Lord, if only you would have done something." My encouragement to you is to let it go. Trust the Lord. We forget that he is God and not us. We forget that he loves us enough to die on a cross for us. We forget that he's got a plan for us, that his ways are way higher than our ways. We forget that when things are darkest, that's when he shines the brightest. Martha's going to see exactly that. Jesus said to her, "Martha, your brother is gonna rise again." And Martha said to him, "I know. I know that he will rise. I was there at Sunday school or Saturday school. I don't know. I was there. I know that he will rise again on the resurrection day, you know, whenever that day comes." And when you lose someone, you know it. You know all the right answers. You know that they're with the Lord. You know that they're not in pain anymore. You know that they're home. You know that one day you're going to see them again. But the pain is still fresh. And when somebody tries to give you a Bible verse, my brother Adam there told me it's like a Bible Band-Aid, right? It's nice. It's cute. But is it really helping me with my pain? She knows the truth. One day, in X number of years, there will be comfort. I'll get to see my brother again. But does that give me comfort now? And that's what she thought Jesus was talking about. your brother will rise again someday. And she's like, yeah, someday. I know, one day. But Jesus isn't talking about some event in some future date. He's talking about today. He's talking about now. And he says to her in verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And I see him looking at her right in the eyes. Martha, do you believe this? Do you believe this? What does that mean? I am the resurrection. I am the life. What does that mean? It's actually really simple. Jesus doesn't say, I have resurrection powers, or I understand the meaning of life and I'd like to share it with you. He says, I'm it. I am the resurrection. I am life. So to have Jesus means you have resurrection. To have Jesus, it means that you have eternal life. Jesus says, the one who believes in me will live even though they die. That's resurrection. We live on earth. We believe in Jesus. We die, and then we are resurrected, and we live again for all eternity. And this time, we're bulletproof. This time, we're right. We take on a new body, a glorified body, one that doesn't chip or break, one that doesn't limp or get sick. You're not going to throw out your back. You're not going to get a Charlie horse in the middle of the night. Does anybody get those besides me? Like all of a sudden? What is that? There's something glorious waiting for each one of us. And in verse 28, when she had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, the teacher has come and is calling for you. As soon as her sister heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in the place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, she's going to the tomb to weep, because that's the only reason to go to the tomb, right? To weep. Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. You think those two had a conversation before Jesus got there? It kind of feels like they're on the same page. Instead of encouraging each other, they found the scapegoat. They know who to blame. Therefore, when Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her weeping, Jesus groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, oh, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Jesus isn't a doctor like that where his goal is to try to keep people from dying. He is life. He is the resurrection. Then Jesus, in verse 38, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, I don't think that's a good idea. Lord, by this time, there is a stench. It's going to be bad, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, and I love this, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God?
Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe. There's that word again. Believe that you sent me. Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. I heard one pastor say that Jesus puts the fun in a funeral. And it's so true. Like, how many funerals has Jesus ruined? In closing, I want to talk about this word that keeps coming up a lot. And it's that word believe. Believe. Jesus tells the disciples that it's good that he wasn't there to raise up Lazarus so that they could believe. When Jesus says to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And then he asks her, do you believe this? And then in verse 45, we read that the Jews saw these things and they believed in Jesus. But there's a group of people that didn't believe. In chapter 10, the people that wanted to stone Jesus did not believe, those Pharisees and religious leaders and priests. And then at the end of chapter 11, again, there is this group of people that are plotting to kill Jesus. Why is it important to believe? If you believe in Jesus and you receive him as Lord of your life, you are receiving the resurrection and the life. You will receive resurrection and eternal life. You receive the one who is greater than death. He is greater than the grave. The thing that makes us shake is nothing for him. For the believer, death is nothing but a transition from one life and into the next. And that is where our hope lies. Don't get me wrong, death is not fun. Death is hard, death is painful. And even Jesus himself wept at the destruction that death causes people, at the pain that it causes people. From our perspective, death is a really big deal. But from the Lord's perspective, it doesn't seem like a really big deal to him. The Bible tells us what happens when we die. The Bible tells us that we will have glorified bodies. The Bible tells us that we will know each other in heaven. The Bible tells us that we are told that heaven is filled with tremendous beauty. It's indescribable, so much so that it would be a crime to try to describe it. We're told that angels are constantly singing. They're constantly worshiping the Lord. Imagine what that would sound like. Like, we've got an amazing band. But imagine a glorified band. We're told that there's not going to be any more sin. That means I'm not committing any more sins, and people aren't committing any sins against me. No more sin, no more pain, and every tear gets wiped away. And there's food in heaven. Might not be all that important for some of you, but for some of us, it's a big deal. But here's the beauty. We get to set our eyes on the Lord and take in his glory without our heads exploding, right? The Lord told Moses, no one could look at me and live.
our glorified bodies are going to be able to receive his glory, and we will be able to, I don't know if we'll be able to process it, but it's not going to destroy us. I'm looking forward to that. What if we believed this about death? What if we believed what Jesus is actually saying, that he is the resurrection and the life? When my kids were young, my son at that time was about 8 or 9 years old, and he comes home from school, and out of nowhere, he's like, "Dad, I want to die." And I was like, "Oh, sweet Jesus," right? Like, that's not what you want to hear. And I was like, "Nathan, oh my goodness, why?" And he said, "Because I want to go to heaven and be with Jesus." And that's when you know you failed as a pastor. Isabel killed it as a mom, but pastor-wise, you know, I shouldn't try to talk people out of going to heaven. But the kid got it. He heard what heaven's going to be like, and it was like, that sounds great. Why aren't we looking forward to this? Why aren't we praying for this? Why aren't we saying, "Lord, come quickly"? Let us live with that hope that our story is going to end gloriously, that we will be in the presence of our Savior, that he has done all the heavy lifting, and all we have to do is turn to him. And that same question that Jesus asked Martha is being asked of each one of us. Do you believe? Do you know for a fact that when you die, you will have resurrection and eternal life? And if the answer is, "I'm not sure," then I would love to talk to you. Anybody with a badge would love to talk to you. There's a prayer group, a prayer tent all the way in the back that would love to talk to you. But it is a very, very important question. I would encourage you, do not leave until you have the answer to that important question. Do you believe? Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for sending Jesus. And Jesus, we thank you for dying on that cross. Lord, you did for us what we could never do for ourselves. And Lord, I pray for the souls that are here that are hurting and broken and wrestling with maybe their own mortality, wrestling with the death of a loved one, wrestling with someone that they love that perhaps is about to die. Lord, maybe there's someone here that's holding on to a hurt and blaming you for it. Lord, may you set them free from all of that. Lord, may they get this piece of the puzzle and they see just how good you are and how wonderful your plans are for us. Lord, we are so, so grateful for you. We pray all these wonderful things, Lord, in your name. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.